Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby.
There's a proven principle when it comes to communication, which is when you're stressed, you're often stupid. And it's because we behave in a way that's not consistent with who we are because of the stressful situations we're in. Well, today we're going to be talking about how you can take stressful situations for both you and a potential client or someone you're working with, and how you can build trust through that. And in order to do that, I brought in one of the greatest mortgage brokers in the business, Trevor Coons. Trevor, great to be with you today.
Thanks, Chad. I'm excited to be here with you today.
And you know what? What's interesting, Trevor, is as we talk about stressful situations, when people go into the home buying experience, that can be one of the most stressful interactions they ever experience. So let's just start off by asking you this question, and that is, how do you keep your clients calm even when the situation could be pretty tense or pretty stressful?
Yeah. So it's funny. It kind of reminds me of when I had my first kid, right? I was all jacked up. Callie was induced. We're sitting in the hospital waiting. The Pitocin's going, and like finally at 2 a.m, she's ready to push. And I am so excited. I'm so jacked up. I'm so nervous. And the doctor comes in. He's been sleeping. His hair's all messed up. He's got sleep in his eyes. He gets there and like literally delivers the kid half asleep because he's done it so many times. So I think that's there's something to be said there too with loans. Is there's a bunch of things that can go wrong in a loan, but having the experience of already being through it, being able to identify the stuff that could possibly be a problem down the line, and then communication. I mean, you know, I think back, you know, I've had clients that don't want all the updates. They just want to get it done. They don't care what's going on behind the scenes. And I've had clients that want to, you know, call me up twice a day to see, hey, has anything else happened? So it's really having an understanding of who your borrower is, what they need to feel comfortable, and then trying to address the problems before they arise. You know, a lot of times in a loan, you can see an area here that underwriting might not like, or, you know, a number that we're going to probably have to explain. So the more upfront and forthright you can be about possible problems when they come up, you know, you have the faith that, hey, we've already talked about this. You know, this is not going to be an issue. We have a plan of attack. So I would say,
you know, well, Trevor, not to cut you off there, but you said two pretty critically important things when you said, first, understand how the person wants to be communicated to. That comes from listening from the onset, yeah, right? Yeah. And we've joked and talked about this podcast on this podcast, how people are terrible listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yep. And most people have negative experiences. I shouldn't say most people have negative experiences, but the home buying, and I think it goes back to the expectations like you were talking about with the birth of your first child. It's, you know, you expect certain things and sometimes they don't happen the way. Now, obviously, I'm biased. I go out and say you're the absolute best mortgage broker in the world because, you know, when you did our mortgage, and when we were relocating from Phoenix to Idaho, we had a very dishonest builder. Things kept going sideways and it was really frustrating. And I this was 2021 when you still had the crazy COVID buying, moving experience. Yeah. And yet somehow, some way you were able to keep me calm. You know, we were in this little rental because there were no rentals available where we were located in Southeast Idaho, but you were able to keep me calm, but you had listened to me from the beginning and understood how I wanted to be communicated to.
Yeah.
And you communicated to me in that way. And it met my expectations, but most people just don't listen very closely.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, whenever you're doing any job, it can kind of start to seem routine. So part of, you know, what I like to do with my clients is like really put myself in their situation. You know, like they have a home that needs to sell. They have moving trucks that are scheduled on a certain day. They're moving to another state. Most of the time when you're buying something, there's a ton of uncertainty. You're either going somewhere new, like you were moving from Arizona to Idaho, you know, and you want to know that it's it's going to be taken care of. There's not many purchases you're going to make in your life that are going to be more financially, you know, impactful than, you know, than buying a home. And so really kind of understanding that, you know, these timelines and these people's lives are, they're trusting you in order to be able to hit these certain mile markers so that when the moving trucks show up, or, you know, when it is time to make that next leap, they're able to do that. And I know it's frustrating because there are a ton of things, I've already said this, that can go wrong in a loan, you know, and there are delays and there are hiccups and there are, you know, stuff that you have to push back on. And so really understanding that is part of the communication too. And the last thing you want to do is hide information or say things are going smoothly when there's a problem that's arising, because you totally lose all of the credibility that you work so hard and, you know, the rapport that you work so hard to establish with these people. So I really do try to, like, I know it sounds cheesy, but think of, like, if this was my sister, if this was my dad, if this was my cousin, would they, you know, how would they feel, you know, treat them almost like their family? And you know, like, most of the time, you know, you go on vacation in the mortgage world and you're just available in another place, right? You're still doing the job. You're still answering your phone. And my wife, you know, we were at Disneyland when we were trying to close yours, and Callie would laugh every day and be like, is that Chad calling for his daily update? Is that Chad that's blowing you up again about the loan? I'm like, yeah, but she understands too, right? Like, this is people's lives. This is a big deal. So I always try to treat it as such.
Okay, so why is it that we, and everyone listening to these podcasts, I'm going to feel like they're in my camp here for a second, Trevor, when they say that, like, we don't like having hard conversations.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody. Oh, I hate conflict. Right? I hate it.
No, most of us are adverse. Most of us are wired to where we don't want to, you know, bring up the difficult conversation. Yep. Right? That's not what we want to do. But you just said right there, you said, look, you just need to tell people, don't lie to them. Don't be dishonest to them, when a lot of us would rather just be like, maybe not say I'm going to be dishonest, but I'm just going to pretend that's not
right. Happening. Or even with, you know, an underwriting condition might be cleared, you know, the next day. So you put off that realtor that's freaking out and their client's freaking out. Just, well, I'm just going to put that person off. And, you know, and then when I do talk to them, there'll be a solution. But that's not good either, because I've had so many referrals come from other realtors that were, you know, on the listing side and not on the buying side, but that appreciated my communication and appreciated me being straightforward with them. And so sometimes conversations are hard, you know, and sometimes it is like, hey, I don't have an update for you right now, but at least I'm answering my phone and I'm telling you I don't have an update. So
Right. Where most people just want to send you the voice message and they're just like, oh, I don't have an update, so I'm not going to say anything to them.
Exactly. And part of it too is, you know, I can't think of any loans that have gone so bad that we didn't get them across the finish line. So sometimes you're a coach. Sometimes you're a cheerleader. Sometimes you're a friend, but really just letting them know, like, hey, this is not maybe going to happen in the timeline that we wanted to, but it's still going to happen. You know, and so I think one, identifying the problems up front and being crystal clear on what the snags could be. And then two, when the snags come, you just got to bite the bullet. You just got to tell them what's going on. You got to communicate with all parties. You got to let people know what's going on. And so, and also give them the confidence that you have the ability to fix the problem, right? Like, we've done this before.
Right.
It's going to be fine. There's a little bit of a setback, but we'll get it across the finish line.
You know, one of the things my wife Cassie always tells our kids is, successful people do it now, right? So, like, if they're supposed to take out the garbage or they're to do the dishes or whatever it is, and they'll be like, I will in a moment. And Cassie's always like, successful people do it now, right? And so I've always been out there preaching Cassie's doctrine of successful people do it now. And I even shared that at a conference I was speaking at. And someone later showed me a tattoo that they got on their arm that said successful people do it now. But the reason why I share that, Trevor, is because that's what you're saying when it comes to communication. When we want people to trust us, especially through maybe tense situations, and we have something we have to share, well, successful people do it now.
Yeah.
They share that communication right now. Now, with that being said, how do you balance between honesty and optimism when delivering what could be hard news?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with experience and knowing that this isn't the first time this problem has come up, right? And being able to say, hey, listen, this is a stumbling block for a minute, but we'll find a way around it, you know? And part of that's your team, part of that's your processor, part of that is, you know, the branch that I work for, and being able to have the tools in order to go outside the box or talk to an underwriter directly about a condition that I don't think that should be there. So it's having a game plan. And to what you said about, you know, doing the hard things first, it's, you know, I think everybody's heard of like eat the frog in the morning, because if you don't have the hard conversation, it lingers throughout the rest of the day and it's in the back of your mind and it's affecting other conversations that you have. And it's just kind of like this dark cloud. Whereas after you get off the phone call, 95% of them go better than you think they're going to go. Right. Now, 95% of them, once, you know, you think that there's going to be this devastating reaction and people are going to be so disappointed. But I find that with, you know, being upfront, being honest, communicating throughout the process, 95% of those hard conversations go better than you have it made out in your mind to be this super, you know, devastating thing. So I think, you know, just kind of going straight at something and then straight through to the solution.
Well, and you know what, I think it does also come down to, Trevor, the intention that you have, and your intention is to always get people to where they need to be.
Yeah.
Right. I hate the phrase someone just says, well, I'm brutally honest. And I once heard someone say that those who are interested in being brutally honest are more interested in being brutal than honest. Right. But your intention isn't the brutality of it, but your intention is to get them to where they need to be so that they have complete visibility into what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. My dad's like that. He's the type of dude that can just say anything to anybody in the same monotone tone, and it doesn't affect him. He's just like, yeah, well, here's the truth. Here's how I see it. And I'm not saying that's just not my style. I'm way more of an empath, you know, and I put myself in their shoes, and, you know, I don't want to overly, you know, look at it through rosy glasses, because sometimes stuff comes up and we got to pivot and we, you know, we need letters and we have time crunches and like, it's tough. But again, up to this point, there's nothing that's really stopped, you know, eventually crossing the finish line, you know, even real estate agents that want to make it difficult on the other end. So.
Well, and you used a word just a moment ago that I want to double click on here for just for a second. And that's, you talked about empathy, because I remember getting extremely frustrated with our situation, right? And when, you know, our builder had liens against the home and he wasn't being honest and all these different frustrations that we were having. And I remember you saying things like, oh man, Chad, that's brutal. That stinks. And you really acknowledged my frustration that I was in. But then you would say, okay, but let me tell you something. This is how we're going to get through this. And then you showed me the path moving forward. Yeah. Now, what I appreciated was the fact that you allowed me to be frustrated for a second and not just discounted it and jumped into, okay, yeah. Whatever, Kirby, we're going to be fine. This is how we're going to be fine, right?
Yeah.
So what is it about you that allows you to really, because if everyone listening just would spend a moment and listen to what others are saying, and pause and really reflect for a moment and just be like, oh man, that's brutal. There was never a moment where you thought we weren't closing this loan.
Right.
But man, I was frustrated.
Yep.
But and you let me feel validated. I guess validated is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know? And so is that something you do intentionally, or is it just something that comes naturally for you? Because a lot of people just want to jump to rescuing rather than validating.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm a middle child, you know, so I think that some of that is intrinsic in, you know, trying to balance, you know, my role in a kind of chaotic family. But really, it just because I care about my clients, you know, when it comes down to it, again, we're talking about probably the biggest purchase they're going to make. And it's different for everybody, because you have some guys that are, you know, three or four or five properties deep and they're buying another investment and they know the game and it's a different conversation. But, you know, a first time home buyer with someone that's moving from a different state, that's starting a new career, like you really gotta try to put yourself in their shoes to understand where they're coming from and how best to communicate with them. And I find that does kind of come naturally for me. I don't like disappointing people, you know, and I don't like people to feel like, you know, there's just no way to do it. So it is a healthy balance of trust me, like we got this, you know, and the same as, yeah, man, I understand this sucks. Like, you know, I totally understand that this is what, you know, we were not hoping for this outcome, but XYZ, you know, and we just keep going.
Right. I love that. And I love that you just really focus on understanding where people are coming from. And in a world right now where it continues to become more and more AI driven, yeah. where, you know, people are dealing with a lot of bots rather than humans, that human touch that you bring to the table where people feel validated, people feel listened to, people feel heard, that, I mean, there's no reason for me, it's easy to see why you're so successful, because people feel that when they're with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Trevor, let me ask you this question. If someone were saying, okay, Trevor, I hear what you're saying, how can I get better at that? How can I get better at, and it could be, you know, the way you're able to always ask questions, because for me, whenever you and I were having a conversation, you were always asking a ton of questions.
Right.
And so, as you say, really understand where they're coming from. Is it the questions that really get you?
Yeah, it is. And a lot of that is up on the front end. A lot of it is okay, tell me about your housing situation. Tell me about your family. Tell me about how many kids you have. Tell me about your job. Are you transferring somewhere? Like, the more information that I can get on the front end, the more that I can understand this person as more of a family member. And this sounds super cheesy. It's kind of like the, you know, brutally honest statement. But if you can look at someone like a sister or a brother, you know, if you can kind of bring them into your family and say, this is what I would do for someone that I was related to. This is what I would do for an amazing friend, right? These are the times that I would allocate. These are the hours that I would answer that phone call, right? If you can do that with someone who starts as a stranger, that will, by the end of it, it's not hard anymore. Because, you know, I had a guy text me yesterday, you know, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much for helping me and my family get into a home. Like, you know, that feels like an extension of, you know, a call I'd get from a brother or sister-in-law or something like that. And that's when I know it's working, you know, is when they have the same feelings that I'm trying to project towards them. Is I want you to feel when you come and we're going to do a deal together that you feel like I'm going to fight for you, like you're one of my own.
And you know, Trevor, I appreciate you sharing all these things where you go, okay, listen, validate, empathize, really ask questions that help you understand where somebody's coming from. And that's just when you're, you know, creating or helping someone with their mortgage, but it's in every aspect of our life. But let me ask you this, where do people go wrong when you're dealing with these high tense situations? Because I know, as great as you are, yeah. and I believe you're the best in the business, I know you've made mistakes.
Yeah,
for sure. I know you've gone like, oh, that went sideways. Where do people go wrong in high stakes, tense conversations?
I feel like when anybody's looking to point a finger, it's going the wrong direction. I feel like looking for a scapegoat, trying to transfer ownership of the process. You know, I work with a lot of buyers, right? And the buyer is represented by my realtor that I'm working with. And then the seller is represented by another seller, another agent. And sometimes those seller agents are maybe not the most successful agents. They don't have the experience that, you know, a more seasoned, and they're, you know, with this economy, they're counting on this commission, you know, and so they're emotionally attached to this outcome. It's so much is resting on this being completed that they might be looking at things a little bit too intensely. They might be, you know, putting so many eggs in one basket that if there's a little hiccup, there's a freak out. So I try to just be a calming voice of it's all going to work out. You know, I've made mistakes. I've uploaded sample tax returns that were off from the finalized ones, and that caused a huge problem with underwriting. So mistakes are made, no one's perfect, but it comes down to, like, we can fix it. We're all trying to make this deal close together. We should all be more on the same team rather than, hey, it's the seller versus the buyer, or this agent versus the other agent, or let's all blame the lender. Or, you know, like, when fingers start getting pointed, that you're way further away from finding a solution than if you're all working together. And understanding, at the end of the day, we all want it to close. Like, I'm not actively working against you, right? I am trying to make this happen for everyone. So I think just kind of having that understanding that that pointing fingers, blaming, looking for a scapegoat is just pulling you further away from a solution that's probably right in front of you.
Right. And I love that. And it really goes back to when we start taking things personal.
Yeah.
Then that's when, you know, things start going sideways. Is that what you attribute your successful golf game to?
Oh man, I wish it was more successful. I'm really hard on myself. I have a tough inner voice. And so that inner voice comes out on the golf course quite a bit. So I'm constantly trying to calm myself down on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, I think Trevor, what you've shared with us today, the importance of maintaining that calm demeanor, the importance of understanding where that other person is coming from and not taking it personal. Because at the end of the day, when you get into that finger pointing experience, and Trevor, I've never once been in a high stakes conversation where finger pointing started happening and it ends up.
Right. Dead. Exactly. Exactly.
And people get so caught up in being right than just solving the situation and just creating a resolution.
That's right. And I always tell people, hey, if you need somebody to be mad at and you want to get some words out, that's fine. You can do it on the phone call, but then let's go back to figuring out how we're going to make it work. Right. If I need to be a punching bag for a little bit, I can handle that. It doesn't hurt my feelings too bad. You know, we might not do a deal together down the road, but that's okay too. Or maybe we will, but like, you know, you can take a few shots. You can say what you need to say and then let's move on, you know?
Yeah, but it goes back to what you're saying, Trevor. We've got to quit taking everything personal. Yeah. And really finishing up with where we started, because if you recognize the fact that when people are stressed, they're stupid.
Yeah,
right? 100%. When I ask people, Trevor, when I ask people all the time at a conference where I'll be speaking somewhere and I was like, how many of you have ever behaved in a way that's not consistent with who you are? Right. Yep. Whether you're calling the insurance company, your mortgage broker, yep, or your, you know, or your accountant or bank, whatever, every single person raises their hand.
Yep.
We've all had that experience where we're like, I was under stress and I behaved in a way that wasn't consistent,
yep,
with who I was. Yep. And Trevor, I just know from my personal experience working with you, I learned so much from you, how to deal with a very tense situation, because you dealt with me, you know, when we were, you know, I relocated my entire family into this small rental home as we were getting ready to move into our house. And it was a crazy roller coaster of an experience, but you were able to utilize those tools that you just shared, listening, showing empathy. And the one that I really want to emphasize too, as we wrap up, is putting yourself in that person's situation.
Yep.
And I felt validated all along the way. Absolutely love what you share. Trevor, someone has a question or wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
Probably my cell phone, 206-349-8878. Give me a call. I'm licensed everywhere. So I do the majority in Washington and Arizona, but I can help out nationwide.
Wow. That's it. Just give the cell phone one more time, a little slower.
206-349-8878. And that's my personal cell phone. I give that out. I know a lot of people don't give their personal cell phone out, but again, most of the time, these people, if something's hitting the fan, they want someone that'll answer at 8:30, you know, 9 o'clock at night, on the weekends. And I try to provide that for my clients.
I love it, Trevor. Thanks for sharing what you shared. Great being with you. Have a tremendous day, my
brother. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Bye now.